So continuing this discussion of American identity, I think it's fair to say that the notion of independence is inseparable from American identity, along with some other things we've been talking about. And the symbols of independence have changed down through time. Remember 40 acres and a mule?
Where's my 40 acres and a mule?
It goes way back. Here, the myth of America as the place to go to plant your own personal flag is the irresistible idea you can hear from these actors playing Russian defectors in the famous movie The Hunt for Red October. Listen.
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I would think they'll let you live wherever you want.
Then I will live in Montana. And I will marry a round American woman and raise rabbits. And she will cook them for me. And I will have a pickup truck.
Pickup truck with round American women and rabbits. Not everybody's dream, but certainly an identity for Sam Neill and Sean Connery playing Russian admirals in The Hunt for Red October. From the days of the colonies, the western frontier, the burgeoning suburbs, this identity of independence is best signified today by the notion of home ownership, whether in Montana or wherever. Beth Koblenz, Takeaway contributor and appointee to the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Is here with some history and hard numbers to help us better understand the American value of home ownership. Beth, it seems to me that when I was growing up, the idea of owning a home was a symbol of independence.
Yes.
Also a symbol of financial security.
Absolutely.
But right now, it can be a symbol of financial insecurity as well. What's going on with the idea of home ownership in 2010?
Well, it's interesting because despite the crisis and the fact that home ownership has caused the crisis to a large extent, people still believe it's a strong American value to buy a home. 70% of people still think it's a great investment to buy a home, just second to having a bank savings account. People, it's part of the fundamental American dream. It has something to do, I think, when the settlers came here from Europe to gain autonomy, you know, to mark their piece of land. I think it's as fundamental as that. Even when, you know, look back to when the Constitution was written, you needed to be a white male property owner in order to have the vote.
That was citizenship.
That was actually citizenship.
Owning property.
And I think it's back, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, I remember getting a mortgage because he was a veteran and he got a low cost mortgage. So I think that, you know, our government has rewarded people with lower cost mortgages. We get this great big tax deduction if you get a mortgage. All those
things. And hold on for one second. Yeah. Let's talk about that tax deduction because
right.
It came up in the Deficit Reduction Commission.
Yes.
And you saw immediately how
everybody,
lawmakers react to that. That's sacrosanct.
Right. You'd think that they were, you know, proposing you'd slay the firstborn of every American they were saying to get rid of that mortgage deduction.
So you can deduct the interest you pay on your mortgage as a homeowner. The net effect of that is a huge subsidy of the housing industry. Is part of the sanctity of that tax deduction go all the way back to the settlers and the notion of owning property as being an American identity, you think?
Well, to some extent, yes. Although that mortgage deduction, it kind of accidentally happened. Basically, when they introduced the whole income tax structure in 1894, what happened was they said we can deduct all interest. And eventually that led to deducting interest on credit cards. And only in 1986, under Reagan, actually, they eliminated the ability to deduct the interest on credit cards.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't
remember
that.
They kept the interest that you can still deduct the interest on your home mortgage because there was an outcry. You know, home mortgage, it's an American value. How can you get rid of it? Now, when they just proposed it again a few months ago saying, oh, look, we spent $131 billion in our country giving people, usually very wealthy, because only a third of people in our country, you know, actually itemize their taxes.
Right.
And so they only a third are qualified for that deduction.
But boy, the ones who do are happy that they get it.
Very
sure.
Happy they get it.
So let's talk a little bit about a report that came out today suggesting that the financial meltdown was caused by problems at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
These, of course, are loan agencies with trillions of dollars of mortgage assets.
Right.
Is the acceleration or was the acceleration of home ownership during the 90s and the last decade a contributor to the financial meltdown? And is it a warping and distortion of this notion of the American value of home ownership?
Right. Well, this is one of the biggest myths, I think, because it wasn't necessarily that people who couldn't qualify for homes, you know, lower income people were getting homes they couldn't afford. It was that people were rushing, you know, people, it was the small fraction of the people who were lower income who were flipping homes for investments.
Right.
But those people who were getting homes, who were lower income, who really bought them for the long term, who wanted to stay in a home for a long time, many of them have kept up with their payments and have been able to, you know, stick with it. I think the biggest issue is for anybody, and the big takeaway is if you're going to stay in a home as a home, as a place to live, you know, then it's very valuable for you as a person, but it may not grow in value. And that's the real lesson we've seen.
And that's the thing here. When we talk about home ownership as an American value, for me, the speculators and everyone else trying to make massive profits off the home industry,
exactly,
that seems to be have corrupted really what home ownership about, which for me is about not just my privacy, but being part of a neighborhood, having control over my own garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Being able to practice opera at early in the morning and not care about sharing a wall with someone else. I mean, that's what owning a home means for
right,
me.
Right.
You need 5 acres for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
And a mule.
He's saying I'm loud.
But is this, I mean, to do what Celeste is talking about requires a greater percentage of your income today than it did a generation ago when you were talking about the GI Bill, right?
It did. It really did. But when you think about, and which is why renting is such, you know, renters today are second class citizens, because the vast majority of money that we give as a government goes toward, you know, for every $4 given to homeowners in tax breaks, renters who are much lower income only get $1 of government money. So I think we're starting to think about how are we trying to subsidize people in their housing, and what does housing mean? Does it mean really owning? Or does it mean having a place to live? Maybe a rental is the best place for somebody to live. So I think we're going to see that discussion happening more and more. But I do think home ownership, you know, studies have shown, there's a study just out of Wharton showing that people who own homes are actually less happy than people who don't own. They have a harder time, you know, they have more maintenance costs, they have less leisure activity. It even showed after you adjust for home ownership, people have less fun with their friends. So I don't know, home ownership?
The myth being home ownership is not the end of a story. It's often the beginning of a story that involves some of the issues you're talking about, maintenance and everything. Beth Kobliner has more of her take on why Americans still value home ownership. You can check it out on our blog at thetakeaway.org. There's this interesting tension, Beth, between doing the math on home ownership and figuring out the sort of cultural sort of resonance of it.
Right, right, and how it makes you feel to be proud to be a homeowner.
How does it make you feel? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.